I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So there was this study about unconscious bias. They actually had the exact same resumes for the men and the women, but they just, the only thing that they changed was the name. And what was really, really interesting was these science people or these faculty members actually rated the resumes of the male students as more hireable, more competent, and also offered them higher salaries than the females, even though the resumes were exactly the same. And what was also interesting was, hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. This is Queenie.
And Pablo.
Welcome back to another episode. Pablo, what's your money win?
My money win is that we are having a baby.
Yes.
We had like this massive list of things to buy, and I think we are done buying stuff.
Yay!
We haven't bought everything on the list, obviously. Like we kind of like did maybe 40, 50% of the long list. And I think that should be good enough to get started.
That's good. Do you have the clap sound effect? I think it's the yellow one. Try it. Maybe not.
Hey, the green one.
Very cool.
So that's a good money win. What's your money win, Kuni?
My money win is that I made these chickpea brownies and they were actually really good, surprisingly. Like you couldn't really taste the chickpeas. And then I froze them. So then we can bring them to like dinner with some friends. And yeah, because otherwise sometimes you make a bit too much and then you don't end up finishing them. And then it just goes to waste. So freezing food, it's a good one too.
Two money win in one, Quinny. That's a money win.
love it. Just remember that anything that we talk about in this podcast is general and doesn't constitute personal financial advice. You can read our full financial services guide in the description. And we would also like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of our land, and we extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today. All right, so Pablo, to celebrate International Women's Day, we have an International Women's Day episode, and I have a riddle for you.
A riddle?
Yes.
Okay.
Ready to go? Okay.
Tell me, Quinny.
A father and son were in an accident where the father was killed. The ambulance brought the son to the hospital. He needed immediate surgery. In the operating room, a surgeon came in and looked at the little boy and said, "I can't operate on him. He is my son." Who is the surgeon?
So the son or the father's son died in the accident, but the surgeon said, "This is my son."
Yes.
So was it a gay couple?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe. There are actually a few potential answers. So one is that the surgeon is the boy's second father or stepfather. And then the other option is the surgeon is the boy's mother. And surprisingly, there were these researchers from Boston University. They ran the riddle by two groups, and they found that only 15% of people actually came up with the answer that the mom's the surgeon.
When it would be most likely it's actually the mom, right?
Yeah.
Especially on International Women's Day. I should have thought about that one.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? So, yeah, what do you think about the riddle? What are your thoughts on the experiment?
I guess when you think surgeon, you know, maybe with all the TV shows and stuff like that, is it men in your head? And it doesn't have to.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that was kind of it's very interesting, isn't it?
It is very interesting. I'm curious to hear from people listening, what did they think?
Yeah.
Or who did they think he was?
It is really interesting because even when they were doing the studies, even when they split up the groups into feminists, and even the feminists, they did a little bit better than the average. So I think the average was like 15%. They got like 22% of the feminists figured out that, you know, the surgeon was the mother, but still not that much better, you know? And even students with mums that actually were doctors, even they didn't do that much better either, which is so interesting, isn't it?
It is very interesting. So it's really the proof that, you know, so much bias in our society is because of everything you watch or consume.
Yeah, exactly. Even if your own lived experience is different, you know, and you have like a mom that's a doctor, you know, it's crazy.
And I guess it's good that this riddle exists and more people talk about it, because then you are more aware of it and all your bias will disappear over time, or, you know, you'll create new bias over time.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I always catch myself out saying, like, you know, just assuming someone is a he when they might not necessarily be a he, you know what I mean? Like, I think that that's kind of like the standard thing, like, oh, he, or you know what I mean? But then it's like, not necessarily, you know?
Yeah, the banker or the landlord, you know, he, but it can be a she, can be they, can be anything.
Yeah, exactly. So to celebrate International Women's Day, we wanted to do an episode highlighting some really inspiring stories that we found of women throughout history, and also talk about some challenges that women still have today and what we can do moving forward so that we can make this world a better place for everyone in the future. Sound good?
Sounds very good, Queenie.
Okay, so one of my favorite stories is the story of Billie Jean King. And I think that this story is just very, very inspiring. So Billie Jean King, she is an American tennis player. And back in 1971, she became the first female athlete to earn over $100,000 in prize money. But then when she won this, you know, phenomenal prize, she realized that it was around $15,000 less than the men's champion. And so what she did, she started to talk more about equal pay in tennis back in 1971, which was pretty unheard of at the time. And there was this former number one ranked tennis player named Bobby Riggs. And he went on like the media and he kind of boasted like, hey, look, even though I'm 55 years old, I think that I could still beat any woman in tennis because the women's tennis game is inferior to the men's game. So he essentially challenged Billie Jean King, who was, you know, also speaking out at the time about equal pay for women. So he challenged her to a match, a tennis match. He was 55 at the time, she was 29. And over 90 million people tuned in worldwide and to watch the Battle of the Sexes match. She ended up defeating him 6-4, 6-3, 6-3. So it was like a three-set match. As we know in women's tennis, it's usually like a best of... Is it best of three?
Best of... Yeah,
best of two.
If you win two, you win the...
Yeah, best of two. So she actually ended up doing like the... kind of like men's equivalent, so best of three. But yeah, she beat him in straight sets. And after that, the US Open became the first Grand Slam to pay men and women equally. And then the next one was the Australian Open in 2001, and then the French Open and Wimbledon in 2007. Crazy story, right?
Yeah, it's a crazy story. It's funny that she beat him in three sets as well, that, you know, it's kind of like on the men's game. And yeah, I mean, there's no question about it that she won. And it's good that the US Open, then straight after, they, you know, get the equal pay, and then the other Grand Slam followed as well. So moving forward, it's going well, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty inspiring. And she's also, I think she was also one of the openly, like one of the first openly gay players as well. So yeah, very inspiring story. Shows that, you know, even back in 1973, like that's pretty, that's a long time ago. So it's very inspiring that, you know, she was doing that back in the days.
Yeah, it is very inspiring. And speaking of like LGBTQ.
Yes.
We discovered a new person gay, right, today.
Yeah, we did. Rebel Wilson. Yeah, very interesting. I didn't know. She came out when she was 42. Yeah. Very interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
Australian.
Yeah. So
Australian like me.
Yeah, like you, Pavlo. Congratulations. I'm so excited for you. Okay, so my next story, also very inspiring. And sad, but also very, very inspiring at the same time. So I'm not sure if you've heard this story, Pablo, but it's about a lady named Malala Yousafzai. So her father was a teacher and he ran a girls' school in Pakistan. And in Pakistan, they had this extremist group take over and they banned a lot of things like owning a television, playing music, and they also said that girls could no longer go to school as well. So she started to speak out publicly about, you know, being able to go to school, and this made her a target. So back in October 2012, on the way home from school, a gunman actually boarded the school bus and said, "Who's Malala?" And then he shot her on the left side of her head. But thankfully, she did survive. She went to hospital in England and she was able to, yeah, survive through the attack, being shot in the face, which is just crazy. And she had this choice then in that moment. She was like, "I could kind of like lay low for a while, you know, like I've just been attacked and someone did try to kill me and I am just like a young child, right? Or she could fight for women to have an education." So what do you think she chose, Pablo?
Sing the latter.
Yeah, she did. She did. So she established this fund and a charity to give women the opportunity to receive an education. And she received the Nobel Peace Prize in 2014.
Wow, that's an incredible story, Quinny.
I know. But isn't it sad? I'm like getting emotional thinking about it. I'm like, oh, that's so awful. But it really shows how lucky we are, you know, because even though obviously people, it's still not, you know, the fairest everywhere. But I don't know, it just makes me feel so grateful that, you know, I've never really had to fight for getting an education or being able to do what I want to do. So, yeah, it's really nice. What did you think, Pablo?
Yeah,
have you heard this story before?
I think I've heard the story, not in detail like this. So thanks for sharing, Queenie. I think it's so crazy that we take everything for granted, you know, just going to school. And that reminds me of a story, you know, this guy, he went to, you know, school in India to teach, and all the kids, they were so happy to get an education and to go to school. Well, here, I mean, in Australia, even France, you know, rich countries, the kids are like, "I don't want to go to school, it's boring," you know, and they don't see the luck that they have. Even I was like that, I'm sure. Yeah. "I don't want to go to school," and we don't see how lucky we are that we have access to all those things.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Like some children, you know, have to work from a really young age to support their family and they're unable to get an education. So even being able to get an education in itself is a huge privilege. So yeah, really, really nice story. And I'm so happy that she ended up taking the other path and becoming an inspiration, because now we can learn about her story.
Yeah, it's great. I guess it's really good to have people like that, you know, that, you know, they think bigger than themselves. Like, she could have just, like you said, just take it easy and be like, you know, now, I don't know if she stayed in England or did she go back to Pakistan after?
I think she lived in England for a while, but I think she would have gone back to Pakistan probably throughout her lifetime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, she could have just take it easy and live a good life in the UK and just relax, but she had a bigger purpose, and that's amazing to see.
Yeah, yeah, it really is. It really is. And if you are enjoying the podcast so far, don't forget to give it a follow and rate us 5 stars. We would really, really appreciate it. So another one, this one I thought was like very interesting story, and also one that I lived through, because I remember being like a young girl in high school at the time when I heard this story and all of this stuff happening in the news. So I do actually remember it, which is really cool. And I'm sure a lot of you listening today will remember it as well. So we had our first Australian female Prime Minister, Julia Gillard. And I guess just like going through the motions of getting our first female Prime Minister, I did realize, I guess what we realize now is that she had to face a lot of challenges that a lot of men at the time didn't really face, like things like, you know, the media will always comment on her outfits and what she was wearing, or she looked terrible in that outfit and why is she wearing those clothes, and even talking about her husband and her partner and the fact that she didn't have kids, which is something that, you know, they don't really talk about with the male politicians. Like if the male politician doesn't have a kid, you know, or like has a partner that's a hairdresser, no one cares. Like it's not news, but it was news for her, you know.
People care if men have an affair.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the news, you know. But if it's like normal stuff or like boring stuff, no one cares, right? But they really focused on that. And yeah, there was this really famous speech that we now know. And Pavlo, you've seen this one too, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, not now, not ever. You were in France at the time, right?
Yeah, but I don't think I remember from you.
Oh, okay. Well, it did go viral. Maybe it didn't reach France. Maybe it didn't reach France.
It passed France, go straight to the UK?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe that's what happened. Yeah, so it was like a really historic speech. Basically, she had had enough. She'd been through, you know, a lot of scrutiny in the media, people talking about really petty things, you know. And she did her speech, not now, not ever. And it's a really famous speech just talking about what she's had to go through as the first female Prime Minister of Australia and all the sexism and, you know, scrutiny. And it really did like resonate with a lot of people because they were like, oh my gosh, like, you know, here she is, she's got the top job in the country and she still has to deal with this stuff, you know? So it really resonated with a lot of people. And yeah, it's really nice because at the time, I think also like the media didn't really kind of understand.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Like the significance of that speech, but now looking back, it's probably one of the most memorable moments in Australian political history because it's like, I don't know. It was just someone actually speaking from the heart, talking about what she's had to go through. And yeah, thought it was really cool.
Yeah, I think, you know, it must have boiled in her head like all these months and years, but like all this media and stuff. So she had to endure that for all this time. And then I guess enough was enough at this stage. But she still kind of kept her cool.
Yeah.
She kept her cool.
Yeah.
And you know, now she became even more famous thanks to that. That's funny.
Yeah, I know. She actually has a book now. Not now, not ever as well.
She ride the wave, you know, the trending wave. It's like you with Taylor Swift video.
Exactly. But yeah, it was really cool, hey.
I know, it's pretty good, like you know, you got to put your foot down sometimes because enough is enough, and it's good she did it. And also I guess it will inspire other women or everyone, other people that, you know, they've suffered from that to also, you know, it's okay to do that. I guess same with the Me Too movement, you know, one started and then more women started to do that as well because they say it's okay. So you have to have those people to start the movement, and then it leads on to more eventually, because everyone actually suffers, but in silence, and it's terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And it is so interesting because sometimes you think that you're the only one that goes through these things, but then you realize, or someone talks out about it and you're like, oh, actually, that's something that I've had to experience as well. So yeah, it is really good. Really nice story.
It is a nice story. And another funny story is that we actually met her in
the
UK.
Yeah, we did. That was right. Yeah.
So I think we were in London for the first or second day a couple of years ago. And there was this woman talking in Australian, not in English, Australian.
I could hear the accent.
Yeah, Australian accent. That's what I mean. And I mean, I could not hear the accent. English is English for me. But you're like, there's someone Australian. And then you turn around and, oh my God, Pablo. It's Julia. And who? And then you say, not now.
Oh, she must get that a lot, hey? Like people are like, not now, not ever.
Yeah, you know, someone stop her in the street. They don't say her name. They say, not now, not ever. It's like, I love well, it. This friend, he makes TikToks videos, but like more like funny TikTok. And some people in the street, they don't call him by his name. They say, hey, TikTok.
Yeah, they do. Hey. It's so funny, hey? Yeah, she probably gets that a lot. But she was so lovely. We got a photo together, but I think she was running off to like a meeting where she was presenting. But so nice to see her. She's out and about, you know, and she just had this nice presence about her. Like I felt like she was really, you know, living in her mission, you know, which was really nice to see. So I feel like, yeah, it's really good sometimes to just talk about the things that, you know, that we struggle with and have conversations, because I feel like if she didn't have that speech or she never made that speech, I guess we wouldn't have realized just how difficult it was for her, you know, and I think it gave us all like some reflection to do on like, why are we so critical of like, you know, things that are a bit meaningless, you know, like of women, you know, what they wear and, you know, who their partner is and whether they have children or not. So it also reminds me of this TV presenter. Do you remember this, Pablo?
I don't remember it, but I remember you telling me about it.
Yeah. So this is another thing that happened around the same time. So there was this TV presenter and he wore the same outfit every single day for a whole year and nobody noticed. But his co-presenter, who was a woman, she was criticized so much. Like almost every day someone would write in saying, you know, she looked terrible and why is she wearing that color and that dress looks awful on her. And it just goes to show that, you know, he can wear the same thing every day. No one notices, no one criticizes him. But, you know, she's wearing different clothes, like, you know, presenting herself well and gets so much criticism. So yeah, it's good to be mindful of these things so that we don't do that unknowingly to people, you know, because what someone wears, chooses to wear, it really has nothing to do with, you know, how capable they are or, you know, what they have to say. Like, fair enough, criticize someone's ideas or, you know, saying the wrong thing or whatever, but like criticizing how people dress, it's just, yeah, very strange, hey?
Yeah, or even the physique of people, you know, people don't have the choice. But an interesting stat you mentioned to me was that good-looking people earn on average more money, right?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. So both men and women benefit from pretty privilege or, you know, being more attractive. So that's also something to keep in mind.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, sometimes you don't really care about what you wear and things like that, but I guess it matters in some case and people will judge you, and it's unfortunate, but sometimes maybe you need to do a little bit of effort and then that can have a big impact in your life. And I think we were watching this French show, like Shark Tank Friends, and you're like, hey, French people, they're like semi nice style.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I guess it is true. It's like, as much as we like to think that we don't judge people by how they look and how they dress, we kind of do. But yeah, I guess just making sure we're not being overly critical of someone that, you know, has made an effort in their appearance, you know? Fair enough if someone rocks up and they're like, you know, to a job interview and they have not made any effort. I feel like that's fair. But if they've made an effort, they're looking good, it's kind of like what they choose to wear is what they choose to wear.
Exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, very good point. Very good point. And before we go into the next point, Pablo and I are so excited because we're building a budgeting tool, because what we've realized is we have tried so many different budgeting apps, but we kept on going back to using a spreadsheet because we couldn't really find one that did everything that we wanted it to do and had all the features that we really needed. And that's why we've decided to create this tool. We've also done a few interviews with people. We've realized that quite a lot of you listening also use spreadsheets to do your budgeting. So we wanted to build a tool that could do this better. So we have a link in the description to sign up to the waitlist. And you can also check out Billroo, BillRoo.com to sign up to the waitlist.
Not easy to find this name, but glad we found it.
Yeah, it took us a while to find a name that wasn't already trademarked or someone wasn't already using it. But yeah, we're really happy with this one. And this was Pablo's idea as well.
Oh, we came it together. Right, I'm going to do the clap.
Yay!
Thank you.
Very nice, very nice.
Queenie, these were a great story and thanks for sharing them. But what can people or what can we take away from those stories in like our everyday life to make a fairer place for everybody?
I love it, Pablo. That was really cool. So I think that what we can do is just be aware of it. You know, these biases do exist. So when you talk to people or even if you have kids, like raising your kids, just try not to be biased towards, you know, whatever gender your kid is. And I think trying to let people choose what they want to do and what they like and see what they gravitate to the best. What do you think, Pablo?
Yeah, I think that's great. I think you showed us this video yesterday. Actually, it was like these kids, like boy dressed as girls and girls dressed as boys, and then parents or like adults were leaning towards more like boys' toys for boys and girls' toys for girls, and then I guess letting them choose first before making those decisions for them might be good to try out, you know. I mean, obviously if the boy likes the boy's toys, you're not gonna be like, no, you need to try this princess, but let them try first and then see what they enjoy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it also has an impact on, you know, the kind of career choices that people might choose or the kind of hobbies that people choose. Because, yeah, just because someone's a girl or a boy doesn't mean that, you know, they have to do a certain activity or they have to choose certain subjects as well, because I guess it really just depends on the person, right?
No, exactly. It's the person, you know, everyone is unique.
Yeah, it is really cool. And I think it is really nice as well. We've been looking at childcare and signing up to the waiting list of a lot of childcares around. And something that I realized was there was this childcare and they have soccer practice for the kids. And I thought that was really sweet. And it kind of made me realize, because I guess as a young person, we didn't really have a lot of female soccer player athletes to look up to. But recently with the Matildas, you know, their game was one of the most watched games in Australian TV history. I think even the most watched TV series ever, or like TV show ever in Australian history. And it was like women playing soccer. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. You know, that there is going to be a whole new generation of girls growing up wanting to play soccer because of that, you know? And I just thought, oh, that's really nice, you know?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it's really hard to be the first to do something, but if you can look up to someone that has already done it, it's like so much easier. And you can pass those limiting beliefs. I think I remember there was these stats of scientific that were saying that no one can run under 10 seconds 100 meters. And then one day someone passed it. And then after that, so many people break the record again. And it's just limiting belief, but you need to see it first to get there. And the same thing with this matter, right? If you see like famous soccer player that make a living from that as woman, you'd be like, it's possible. It's like Serena Williams with tennis, and then, you know, nowadays Coco Gauff, she was looking up to Serena Williams. So I think if you see all those people more breaking through, it's easier to break through afterwards, and it's amazing to see more and more people like that.
Yeah, that's very true. So right about the limiting beliefs. And I guess that's another point that I wanted to mention about hiring and I guess just giving people equal opportunities in jobs. So there was this study about unconscious bias. Basically, they had resumes of men and resumes of women, and then they gave them to these science faculties. And what was really, really interesting was it was a test. They actually had the exact same resumes for the men and the women, but the only thing that they changed was the name. So they gave, you know, the male resumes a male name, the female resumes a female name. And what was really, really interesting was these like science people or these faculty members actually rated the resumes of the male students as more hireable, more competent, and also offered them higher salaries than the females even though the resumes were exactly the same. They were exactly the same. And what was also interesting was it wasn't just the male faculty members that were rating the male students more hireable, competent, and giving them higher salaries. It was also the female faculty members that were doing it as well. So it really goes to show that there are unconscious biases that people have. As soon as you see a name, you might judge someone as, you know, less competent or less hireable, you know, even though there's really nothing there, you know, like it's an identical resume essentially. So I think there's also software out there that allows you to remove the names to prevent biases. But yeah, this also happens with racial biases as well, not just gender biases. But it's really good to be aware of this because, yeah, as we know, seeing people in your industry succeeding and doing really well, that has a huge impact on the next generation. So if we can see more people that look like ourselves in the media succeeding, doing their thing, you know, that's just, it's only going to be better for the next generation. So yeah, what do you think, Pablo?
Yeah, I think it's definitely moving forward. You know, like you're sharing the story from Billie Jean, it was 1971, right? So we've come a long way 50 years later. And it's really good to see that it's moving towards the right direction, I think.
Yeah, that's so true. And funny that you mentioned Coco looking up to Serena, because Serena was actually looking up to Billie Jean. And that also made her, you know, more of an advocate for equal pay in tennis, because Serena was the one that actually was able to get equal pay in the other Grand Slams. So she was the one that moved the needle with that, and it was because she was looking up to Billie Jean King as well. So it's really important to have people succeeding, you know, of all different, you know, all different types of people, and to be able to see yourself succeeding or someone that looks like you succeeding, it's a really powerful thing.
Yeah, for sure. And also not just accept what is out there, you know. It doesn't mean that it's right because everyone does it, and you need to, you know, challenge the status quo.
Yeah, exactly. And finally, I think also giving more parental leave to both parents equally. So at the moment, a lot of places do favour a primary carer, but I think it would be nice for both parents if, you know, if there are two-parent families out there, giving more leave to both parents so, you know, people get the option to be able to raise their kids or spend more time with their kids. And I only think that's going to be a good thing for families moving forward in the future. But yeah, what are your thoughts, Pablo?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just being, you know, stay-at-home mom or dad, it's not easy, just one person already. So I think having two parents, you know, it's much easier to change the nappies or take a break and things like that. So if we have more opportunity, I mean, in our, like, birthing class, many men did not have these chances of being able to stay at home, or they'd have to be the primary carer, which they might do in the future.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of the men in our birthing classes, they would only get a week off work or 2 weeks off work max to spend time with their new baby and their firstborn child. And they would have wanted to take more time off work to spend more time with their kids.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
So, yeah, I think that would be a good thing moving forward in the future if we could have more workplaces give a bit more flexibility to new parents, both male or female, or theys, you know, everyone.
Everyone.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to give this podcast a follow and give us a 5-star rating, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.